Face the Culture. Kim Kennedy here saying hello, and so glad that you're with us, folks. And we got another great program on tap for today. We're mixing things up here, and we're introducing to you, if you don't know Isabel Brown, you should, and you should be listening to her after you hear what she has to say. She's a Gen Z person. We don't usually have people under 40 on our program, and when I read the description of her, I thought, oh, I've got to have her on. Want to hear what the younger generation is thinking. And so she graciously accepted. And so without further ado, we're going to say, hi, Isabel, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, but before we jump into things, for people who don't know you, would you tell them a little bit about yourself, your bio, and what you're doing with your life right now?
Absolutely. I wear a ton of different hats in my day-to-day job. I'm a full-time independent content creator, which is basically a fancy way of saying I make videos on the internet for a living. I'm a nationally best-selling author, and my new book, The End of the Alphabet, How Gen Z Can Save America, just hit shelves about 3 weeks ago. I do a whole lot of public speaking and work with nonprofits on college campuses and high school campuses as well. But really, I just like to say that every day my job is to get up and tell people the truth in whatever way I can, be that a 15-second video on TikTok, a 3-hour live stream, a book, or an appearance on Fox News. And I love that because ultimately that's what's missing from the 2020s in America more than anything is objective truth. My background is actually in the biomedical sciences. I have 2 degrees in BMS, and my dream ultimately was to become a trauma surgeon when I was studying in college, but have just noticed the vacuum of truth, beauty, and goodness as presented to our generation in the world. And God clearly threw my life in a completely different direction, but even as someone not practicing medicine and not as a scientist, I love still operating in that almost scientific pursuit of objective truth every day.
God kind of changed your path there. That's really neat. You were obedient, followed the Lord, and you're doing some great things here. Communicating is so needful. There's so much, oh my goodness, misinformation, lies out there. It's very confusing, which I believe is deliberate. And so we need people who research, can back up what they say, and can articulate their positions very well, which what I've heard of you, Isabel, you do that quite well. Quick question about the book. Just give us a little bit of a taste of that. End of the Alphabet, How Gen Z Can Help. What was the rest of it? It can help young people.
How Gen Z Can Save America. It's a bit of a punchy subtitle and certainly has had a bit of backlash to it because really I wrote the book, Kim, sort of stemming from a place of frustration, being asked to be a token Gen Z voice in media and in politics over the last several years. I worked for the United States Senate and the White House for the Trump administration during college. I've worked with just about every conservative political media group out there today to represent the voice of our generation. And I can't tell you how often I've been on a Fox News interview or been working with print media or radio or even inside of the Beltway in Washington and been told by those older than myself that Gen Z unilaterally is destroying America, that my generation is overwhelmingly uneducated, stupid, lazy, entitled, leftist socialists. A lot of those words that I think became buzzwords for youth culture as it pertained to millennials who came right before us. But I've known from my experiences in activism on my own college campus, working on thousands of campuses in high school and college across the country, and interfacing with tens of millions of Gen Zers every single day in the digital space, that just wasn't true. So I decided to do a bit more research and put on my thinking cap in writing this book to expose the truth that culturally, Gen Z is actually shocking the world by becoming the most conservative generation America has seen since World War II. And I have no doubt that politically that will happen as well.
Well said. Boy, I really appreciate everything you're saying. Very level-headed, rational. I'm thinking of a good friend of mine whose 23-year-old son just graduated from a university here in Southeast PA, can't find a job. He's not voting for Biden, And I understand a whole lot of his other friends. Biden is I don't think he's doing well at all. I think we're lied to about that quite a bit. But one thing I really appreciate is you take your time to research, you know your stuff, you study your topics, and you recently came out, folks, if you haven't gone to YouTube already and looked up Isabel Brown and subscribed, you ought to. You have the, what is it, the 65 talking points of communism from 1963. And folks, Isabel was breaking them down one by one. And oh my goodness, instead of her preaching and wagging her finger and saying, communism's so bad, blah, 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 you just listen to their points. And she was like, check, done. We don't have time to go over all 65, Isabel, but which ones really break your heart and jump out at you as points that have contributed to the downfall of America that we're at the point we are now?
I'm so glad you were able to watch that episode of my live stream. And truthfully, Kim, I had never been told that for the last 60 years, the American Communist Party has been operating on the exact same goals that are scarily accurate as to where we've arrived in the 2020s. Until a few weeks ago, I attended PragerU's annual fundraiser at the Breakers in Palm Beach a few weeks ago. And in listening to Dennis Prager and some other incredible individuals speak, they pulled up this list of 45 goals from the American Communist Party as read into the congressional record of the United States in 1963. Why no one has really reported on this at large is baffling to me because these goals are not just related to the Cold War, although some of them are, but really are about how to strategically take over, overhaul, and destroy the United States of America and Western civilization slowly over time. I say all the time that the left is very skilled at planting seeds culturally to change things that might not really take fruit for another 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And I think that's exactly what we've seen over the last 60 plus years with the strategic goals of the Communist Party, some of which are take over the American church and religious institutions to normalize Marxism and socialism and communism, undermine teachers' unions and institute Marxist goals within teachers' unions and inside of elementary school classrooms, all the way up through every level of the American education system. Here's one for you: destroy objective beauty standards in art, in media, in architecture to stop inspiring people to achieve greatness. If that isn't the most uniform communistic way of thinking, I don't know what is. And having been in New York City just a few days ago for my book launch, looking at some beautiful historic architecture like the Metropolitan Museum of Art and the Chrysler Building and even the Empire State Building versus the soulless glass rectangle boxes of modern architecture, we've really embraced this strategic destruction of beauty. And I could keep going through a million examples, but essentially, the Communist Party strategically decided we can't change politics, we can't normalize Marxism if we don't first change culture. So, how do we strategically and objectively do that? We overtake and overhaul every cultural institution possible: entertainment, mainstream media and journalism, academia. Everything that we possibly can, and then politics will change, which interestingly mirrors one of our favorite quotes on the right from the late great Andrew Breitbart, that politics is always downstream from culture. And for whatever reason, the left has been so skilled and strategic at this. And I hope the right realizes just how much cultural ground we've conceded in the Communist Party's goals to take over America, which, as far as I'm concerned, they've been quite successful at.
Boy, that boy, you nailed it, Isabel. I really like the way you think. You absolutely nailed it. They're not going to sit in school and make you memorize the 65, 63 tenets of, or 65 tenets of Marxism. They're going to change the television programs. They're going to change the newscasts. They're going to, there's a gazillion different ways that you can infiltrate. I mean, oh my goodness, you've named just a few, but there could be some listeners saying, well, how has that happened, really? Well, the frog has been slowly boiled because I was a very young person in the early 60s. And let me tell you that when I was in grade school, first and second grade, the biggest sin that you could commit was chewing gum while in line. And God forbid you talked in line or did not maintain a straight line. It was to the principal's office. You laugh, right? You're like, oh, brother. And now you have shootings are the norm, and my goodness, it's how the standards have been dropped, and a little bit here, a little bit there. These changes have been accepted. Before we continue on with the list, do you get into in your book about what Gen Z people can do to march to walk against the norms, to buck the system?
I sure do. I give countless examples of strategic goals we can embrace to fight back against radical leftism. But the amazing truth, Kim, is that we're already doing that as a generation. It's a well-known fact throughout history that every group of young people essentially wants to do the exact same thing, and that is rebel against the people who came before them to be a bit punk rock and countercultural. And it just so happens that today in the 2020s, to be radically punk rock is to embrace conservative, traditional, timeless values. If you start breaking down lifestyle choices and culture within our generation, which, as we know, is so important because that ultimately will change politics, 93% of Gen Z still wants to get married. In a time that we have the lowest marriage rate in American history, we're waking up and realizing we don't need to spend $250,000 on a degree in, I don't know, underwater lesbian basket weaving to get a job in the real world because that's not really going to help us be successful. So instead, 62% of us have already started our own businesses and are becoming CEO on day one, resurrecting that entrepreneurial spirit. Even on a lot of the smaller issues that you wouldn't think necessarily impact culture and politics, you're witnessing a generation quit hormonal birth control en masse, against all of the sage advice of the mainstream media. Who wants to continue attaching us to the pharmaceutical industry? We're eating real food instead of crap manufactured in a laboratory or a factory and marketed as healthier to us, but is really just chock full of chemicals and carcinogens and endocrine disruptors. And maybe most importantly and most excitingly, we're believing in God again in our godless society. At the end of 2021, less than 25% of Gen Z said that we remotely believed in a higher power. And we were trending more in an atheistic direction. But by the end of 2023, more than one third of us proudly say we believe in God. We're seeking regular attendance at religious services. And even in the last few weeks, you're witnessing these revival situations on college campuses all over the country where thousands of people are being baptized in a pond or a fountain in the middle of their college campus. So we're watching this huge, unexpected pendulum swing happen culturally right now in rebellion of authoritarian leftism, which, as we know, the Communist Party has already succeeded at, right? They've taken over the cultural institutions in America. The best way to rebel against those is to be traditional and timeless in our conservative values.
This is great. I love it. I'm waiting for you to break out in song. Power to the people. I remember in the late 60s when that came out, and they were like, yeah. And now the younger generation is using it on them because they're sick of their corruption and the lies that constantly flow. I don't know how many people in your generation, I don't even watch most of the news anymore. It's like, what's the truth here? Who's telling the truth? And you don't know. And so I just appreciate this this you know what? Gen Z are very thoughtful people. They're really thinking this through. They're looking at what they're being told, what they're seeing, and they're making their own decisions. They're not being little robots just following I'll do this, I won't do that. They're calling their own shots, and kudos to them for that. Isabel, I think this is really encouraging news.
Absolutely. And maybe the best news for those concerned about our politics is we know the political pendulum is going to shift as a result of that, too. We're really even starting to see the results of that happen already. If you look at exit polling from 2018 to 2020 to 2022, as Gen Z has become more adult and voted in more elections, you've witnessed a huge upswing in the number of conservative politicians, ballot initiatives, and policies that we're gravitating towards. It's literally a straight diagonal line towards those more conservative political policies. And a recent survey that just came out a few weeks ago found that 17-year-old boys are overwhelmingly politically conservative, the most they have been in 50 years, which is an incredible defiance of the left's strategic attack on masculinity and manhood. I think that really necessitated strong masculine voices like Jordan Peterson, for example, in inspiring young men to not shy away from who they are, but to proudly share that with the world.
Just, I'm so grateful again for what you're saying. And I couldn't imagine if I was growing up right now and I was being told that because I was white and I was male, basically go off yourself. You know, that's the message that I hear. And it's like, this is evil. This is wicked. We try to say it as much as we can, but it fits in again with your 65 talking points of how to convert from a limited republic that we have here with where the power rests in the people and we have the liberties, why we would want to give up that. But you have to give, again, credit where it's due. They've done a masterful job of presenting it as bad and lifting up Marxism as something good. As you read through that list, how do you, when you engage in conversation with people your age, how do you try to convince them that Marxism is a profound failure every time it's tried, because it is, and that our form of government is still, with all its flaws, is still the best in the world?
You know, it's not a very hard argument to make these days because the evidence is overwhelming that leftism has failed in accomplishing the very shallow goals that they've promised to our generation. We are a very feelings-oriented generation. And I think that scares a lot of people because the general mantra on the right for a long time has been facts don't care about your feelings. And that worked incredibly well to capture the attention of millennials who, let's face it, kind of needed to be beat over the head with facts in the very confusing time that they were growing up. But we are a very empathy-driven generation. And there could be a million reasons as to why that is. I think a lot of that had to do with social emotional learning classes in our schools growing up. But really, a lot of it probably has to do with the internet, that at the push of one button, we could be connected with 99% of humanity on the other side of the globe instantaneously, face to face. That does so much to change your perception of humanity and issues that impact human rights all over the world. Feelings aren't a bad thing. And I think it's important we remember that as conservatives, because we have feelings for a reason. God created us in his image. And without emotions and empathy, we would lack the ability to see others as created in the image of God as well. But they can also be used to communicate conservative ideas. The left has really hijacked the emotional conversation by saying, if you really care about women, then you need to support abortion. If you really care about kids and their safety, then you have to support gun control, because otherwise kids will literally die at school. If you really care about the environment, then you need to support disastrous policies like the Green New Deal rather than independent and individual responsibility for conservation. And we could keep going in different examples based on different leftist policy initiatives, but everything that they've packaged to our generation has been promising this utopian, progressive, equality-driven society that supposedly is the greatest society for human rights in world history. And yet we're looking around and we've never been more divided in modern history. We've never been more angry at each other and hateful of each other in modern history. We're watching literally millions of babies be slaughtered on the altar of convenience in our country today. You're watching mass riots take place all over the country in the name of either religion or race, to the point that people don't feel safe leaving their homes. The violence that allegedly would stop with things like gun control just continues to heat up with bad border policies. And so we can keep pointing at all of these promises of the left and say to our generation, has anything they've promised actually come to fruition? Or are they just gaslighting you into thinking they're going to do that and instead actually trying to accomplish the opposite? And so I'm incredibly encouraged with all of these social and political issues, watching our generation realize and seek truth in the midst of all of the propaganda and the noise from the left. Really great example of that, I think, going into this election in November, is the issue of abortion. And I spend a lot of time on college campuses in particular with students talking about this issue. The left would like for you to believe that Gen Z is an overwhelmingly pro-abortion generation, that we are going to vote solely on this issue and that we support it through all 9 months of pregnancy, period, full stop. Actually, that's the policy of those much older than us controlling the Democrat Party and the left-wing media. People like Joe Biden, who have made it abundantly clear we are going to federally enshrine this quote-unquote right that is nowhere in the Constitution for all 9 months of pregnancy, for whatever reason, for any circumstance. And heck, even in states like California or Colorado, where I grew up, or Maryland, there's a gray legal area for infanticide, and we'll just call that abortion now. That's a stark contrast to our generation, where 9 in 10 voters under the age of 45 support at least some restrictions on abortion. The media would never tell you that, and politicians would never tell you that, but there's this hunger to break free from the propaganda cycle in the mainstream media and partisan politics, and instead resurrect independent critical thinking again that is gravitating us much more toward conservative policies.
Man, this is great news. This is real news, folks. This is stuff that's actually happening. It's not manufactured. It's not half truth, half lies. This is real news. Just another reason to go to Isabel YouTube page and hit the subscribe button so you continue to get great facts about the younger generation, because a lot of older people are in despair, Isabel, because they believe the junk that, once we're off the scene, as we're getting older, the conservative movement will die. Not so. That's not true by a long shot. Tell us again the name of your book and how people can get it.
My book is The End of the Alphabet: How Gen Z Can Save America. And if you are a Gen Zer looking for some hope and direction to embrace leadership, this book is for you. But just as importantly, if you're not a Gen Zer, and you're looking for the real story on who our generation is rather than the manufactured lies in the media, if you're looking for hope for the future of our country and world, this book is for you too. You can pick up your own copy at any Barnes and Noble location near you, on Amazon, or anywhere else books are sold.
Sounds like it would make a great graduation gift, folks. So, just a suggestion. But, Isabel, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to visit with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me.